Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Praise God. You're all welcome. Let me welcome all the pastors. Praise God. You're all welcome. Moibelo, I saw you somewhere coming in. Okay. You're welcome, ma. In Jesus' name. All the brothers, sisters that are here doing various different things, I welcome you in Jesus' name. Tonight, I'm taking one session. After that, other pastors will come and take one session. I'm going to trust the Lord that you are giving me 49 minutes. I think I may end up leaving here by 7. If I try, I will leave here at 7:15. I will stop at 7:15 if I try. So, please, without prejudice to your timing, just adjust. Is that okay? Because I have so much to say. And the Lord will help me in Jesus' name. Now, for the past few months, we've been talking about the power of the kingdom. Quite a number of us have come. Pastor Akishuse has come. Pastor Jayola has come. Pastor Danso has spoken to us and they've blessed us. Praise God. I will still have so many other pastors coming up. And without prejudice to what they will come and say, I think I just need to add this to what has been said and probably lay the foundation for others that will be coming in Jesus' name. By reason of the theme, I want us to pay attention to it properly. We are talking about the power of the kingdom. The power of what? The kingdom. I don't know too much English, but it's as if the emphasis is the kingdom. Is that okay? And we are asking ourselves and we are trying to decode what exactly constitutes the power that that kingdom exerts in all spheres of creation. Amen. Pastor B, you're welcome. Are you with me? We need to know what kind of power is exerted and how it is exerted and the principle of such exertion. Amen. There is no kingdom that does not have what he calls its power. Praise God. The book I'm writing, I needed to explain that there's a difference between spiritual warfare and kingdom warfare. Spiritual warfare, so far by my experience, is how you and I will fight against our enemies. Praise the Lord. It's about us. It has nothing to do with the kingdom. And how it forwards or advances the agenda of heaven. Are you with me? So we are coming from that perspective of what is heaven's agenda and how do we advance or how does God want that agenda to be advanced? Praise God. The primary assignment of all of us in the kingdom is not about us. Please remember that scripture in, can you give me Matthew 6? Is this thing working? Is it working now? If it's working, give me Matthew 6, give me verse 9 and 10. Praise God. Amen. Well, they are there. They are not here yet. Where did Jesus, the prayer that Jesus taught disciples to pray? Do you know where it is? Huh? Uh-huh. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, verse 10. He says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? In earth, as it is in heaven. In those two statements, Jesus has categorically made it clear what the agenda of God is. Praise God. He did not mention us in that first two verses. I hope you know that. We were not even in the picture at all. So anything that reverses the order of things is wrong. Do you understand? When the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, this is what he's telling us. That it's about his kingdom coming and his will be done. Anything outside of that, nothing is advancing that agenda. And it's possible for us to run a church system without considering these issues. And you will find that churches are raised primarily to solve people's problems. Primarily to solve people's problems. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying. Can you go to chapter 7? Let's pick the third from... Look at 21. Go to 21. Now, I've said this before. And Jesus said it, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth what? Every kingdom has an agenda, and the king of the kingdom has his own agenda. Everything is driven by that agenda called the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so if we run our lives without understanding what that will is, this may be our lot. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Please pay attention. These are ministry gifts. Praise the Lord. Because they were not just mere men. These were men that we all will know on the earth. They said, did we not preach in your name? Or prophesied in your name? And in thy name, what did we do? Cast out devils. Have you tried casting out devils before? Let me tell you, when you start casting out devils and you are successful in casting out devils, you will have a level of arrogance. If God does not help you, you enter the hall like this and you look around and you're looking for demons. Hallelujah. God help a sister that is light in complexion. I want to finish. All the light and complexion sisters normally have a Ogbanje spirit. That was what we learned many years ago, but we know by experience that that's not true. You can be black like me and still have plenty of Ogbanje. Praise God. So people were casting out devils. These are powerful ministries on earth. And he says, and in thy name, done many what? Wonderful works. Works that are what? Wonder. And the wonder is what? It's full. Praise God. Now 23, look at the Lord's response. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk what? What was iniquity? The word iniquity means lawlessness. What was unlawful in those things they did? Was that not what Jesus told us to go and do? In my name, do what should you do? Cast out devils. Lay hand on the sick, and what should they do? Let them recover. Take their deadly things. Just go there and scatter the world and let Jesus be known. Amen. But the same Jesus who sent you out, he said that it's possible for you to still go out and still be in trouble. Am I making sense? Why? The issue of agenda. The issue of will. Praise the Lord. So everything has its boundaries. And you and I must be conversant and we must understand that. It's not about us. It's about him. Now the parable of that Jesus said, he said the kingdom is like a man who went out and came in, and well, the man was, I sent out his servants, the servants came back from the field, and he didn't even bother that they were tired. He said, go and prepare me something to eat. Are you with me? Now you have said that is not right. That is against fundamental human rights. But that's not the way the kingdom works. Said, go prepare me something. And they went and got him ready. Got the things he wanted. After he has finished, the Bible said they told their master that we are just unprofitable servants. We did what was required of us to do. So there are times when God does not need to look at your face, whether you are tired or you are not tired. Am I communicating? Once his will is expressed, it does not matter your condition at that moment. What is important is that the will of the master must be carried out. Otherwise, anything else you do is iniquity. I don't know whether you understand me. Now, I'm going back, explaining these things again before I move into what I want to say tonight. I don't know how many of us in our homes we have houseboy, housegirls. Or you have been an houseboy or an housegirl before. If you have, you will understand what I'm trying to say. Now, if I have an houseboy and I'm giving him money at the end of each month, it makes no sense for my houseboy to befriend my neighbor and every morning he's reporting my neighbor's compound to sweep the man's compound. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And he serves the man and comes back and expects me to pay him. It's not done. I will ask, where did you work? Say, I worked there. Oh, guy, I sweated. I really worked. But did you do what I asked you to do? No. That is just what it means when we neglect the will of God. Praise God. Now let me swing into what I want to talk about. We are talking about the power of the kingdom. Now, every kingdom must have what it takes to enforce its will. Amen. Mommy, you're welcome. Every kingdom must have what it takes to impose his will on people around him or her, around their society. The reason why America is feared is not because they know English more than us. Am I communicating? It's because they have the means to enforce what they see. How many of you have met bullies in school? You have met bullies. Maybe you were a bully yourself. And you tell one boy, don't sit there. I will not do the same class. You will find out whether we are in the same class. Praise God. The reason why he can speak is that he has the means to enforce that order. Are you with me? That is the power of that kingdom. Because that kingdom has what it takes to enforce his will. So it's not just the will of the Lord be done. Is that is Arabic, is it Arabic or Muslim or Islamic prayer? No. You enforce the will. If the American president says to Buhari, if he comes out of his basement, tells Buhari, because I was waiting for Trump, because we're trusting God that he will win and then he will deliver us from Fulani's men. But now that Biden has won, we are on our own now. Only we and God now that we solve our problem. Internationally speaking, in terms of foreign policy or whatever it is wrong for a head of state to an head of state be telling that something is wrong in your country. What is wrong with you? Now, for him, for Trump to say so was a threat to the government of Buhari. That question shook them to their foundation. Because if the man decides to invade us, there's nobody anywhere in this earth can deliver us. Praise God. Were you aware before the presidential election in November, American SEAL team entered Nigeria and rescued an American missionary? Nigerian army to be like your joy, you. And they carried that man out of Nigeria, like that. No nothing, no wala. If they want to carry Buhari, they can enter Asuro and pick him. You know why? That is why when the man says, what is going on in Nigeria, I don't like it. Everybody in the whole Nigeria must be take notice. Because the man has what it takes to come and enforce his will. Do you understand me? So when we are talking about power, we are talking about how does the kingdom project its power? How does it bring the nations of the world to realize that I'm not kidding here? When I say no more wars, I mean no more wars. Praise God. And the people must take note. Amen. Now, I don't know how to categorize this, But one thing I think we have discussed, which we have not done so much, is that the quality of the power of any kingdom is dependent on the strength of the army at its disposal. Praise God. If your army is weak, you don't go to go and do yanga. Praise God. You don't look America in the eye and say, "Kole da fu babe." Oh, so be. O koja ye. I want to do don wo. Are dead. Gaddafi is dead. There's one man from Iran. No, that is Iraq. That's Saddam Hussein. Iranian general that was being boasted, we fight America. He entered eternity without even knowing he was dead. It looks as if I have died. Say, yes, you have died. He didn't see it coming. And it was a drone, 30,000 feet in the air, that shot that missile. You don't see the missile. It didn't just cause boom, it just evaporate and become thin air. And Trump said he was prepared to do it. He can do it for all of them. I will be killing all of them one by one. Without leaving America, he will be fighting war. And you will know, the people in America will notice there is war fighting going on. That's power. Because it's projecting American military might. Praise God. So I want to ask, what power does our kingdom have to show? What is the king going to send when people defy him and say, "Shut up! We don't rule you out. Get out! We don't want anything." What can he do? If he doesn't have anybody to send, he will get out too. Praise God. But what betide you if you have somebody to send? Praise God. You remember the classical story of Goliath and David? It's the fight of two kingdoms clashing. What you and I saw on the battlefield were men. What was actually happening in the spirit realm were armies at war. I don't know whether you are with me. And the issue is who will have the bragging rights. They were fighting over territory. They were fighting over resources. And Goliath stood for Satan and defied the armies of God. And defied God. And cursed God, their God. And cursed Israel. And cursed everything that he could curse. And did that for 40 days. And God found no man that could stand before to go and fight his fight. Because that is the part of the problem with these rules of engagement. The rules of the engagement does not allow this, our kingdom, to deploy all the forces at their disposal. Now let me tell you about the forces at their disposal. One of the most powerful forces at their disposal are the angelic forces. Very, very powerful. But the angels have no rights, no locus to enter this realm without somebody opening the door for them to come in. I don't know whether you're with me. So if there's nobody, no key man that can open the portal and say, "Angels, come into the earth and go do my bidding," they can't do it. Even if they are here, they have no right to operate. To do that would be illegal. Am I communicating? So somebody, they need a key man that can bring them in. They always need one man. And blessed are thou if they have more than one man that can bring them in. That the money situation is finished. Praise God. The Lord of hosts said, "I sought for a man that could stand in the gap, but I found none." So it has always been a problem, the limiting factor for the kingdom, because by choice, he has agreed to limit himself to men and depend upon them to bring him into the battle. If David didn't appear on that day, Goliath would have gotten away scot-free and not have happened to Goliath. But a man came into that battle. You remember the story. And David stepped into the battlefront and looked at Goliath. He said, "You come against me with staves and with swords and all those things, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts and whose and his armies that you have defied. That was the tipping point, because a man stood and brought God into the battle. If God entered that battle without anybody inviting him, Satan would have said, that is illegal. Ojoro, 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 foul, 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 foul. It would have resulted to a penalty kick. Praise God. Have you played penalty before where they have removed the goalkeeper? There would have been no... The ball would have just gone straight into the net. Hallelujah. So you find out that these are the rules of engagement in this warfare of the kingdom. We have the angels at our beck and call, but not like the way we have them. Praise God. Then there is this other thing that we have. We have creation to fight for us. Many of you don't know that. The only one all of you know is fire. You have seen the, you know our brethren, the fire people. Even when they now use, even after they pray, if you don't put fire there, the prayer has not been answered. But fire is just one of many that God uses. See, everything you see in this creation, they have their replica in this unseen realm. Amen. Amen. There is this scripture in Job. Can you find it? Who is behind the console there? Pastor, better look for it. When God was speaking to Job about the things he reserved for the day of battle, the snow, which other one? I've not opened Bible to it. Have I opened? Oh God. It was the end. When God began to query Job, said, were you born? Where were you? When the sons of the morning sang. You need to read the book of Job. You will see the things God put there. You should be scared. Have you not found it? 38:28. Ah, okay. Okay. Are you there? It says, as the rainy father, or who has begotten the drops of dew. Next verse. Go to 22. 22. Let's say 42. Can that bring forth Mazaroth in his season? Or can that guide as Arcturus? To what? 22 is chapter 38, verse 2. Say, art thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or art thou seen the treasures of the ale? Which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. We have not... By what way is the light parted? Which scattered the east wind upon the earth? Who had divided the water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man? 27. To satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Had the rainy father, or who had begotten the drops of dew? Next verse. Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who had gendered it? The waters are heaved as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Can thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or the loose the bands of Orion? These are serious spiritual resources for warfare. And you have to learn how to use them and deploy them in battle. Brother Joshua used only one. If I used two. He told the sun and the moon to stand still. That one was right. You're not here. There was a time he was fighting. The Bible says, and the hailstones were unleashed from heaven. Who was throwing hailstones? It was angels. They just do it like this and roll it. Anyway, so they killed more people than Israel killed in battle. Praise God. So they just used those words to tell us, I'm killing one bear. They can be deployed when you want them. But we don't know about those things. We don't. We've not even the ones that we have not even learned it. Go. So there are so much. Now, the one that is the most dangerous of all these things, that is very, very dangerous, is the Holy Spirit. Is the what? Holy Spirit is the most dangerous personality you can find anywhere in the creation. See, the way he fights is worse than a ninja. Praise God. But if he comes into a battle, it's like, in fact, Satan will cry, this is Ujoro. So you don't usually see him coming to battle. But there was a time he fought. The Bible says he fought against Israel. Praise God. But he turned and became their enemy. And he wasted them. Left their carcasses in the wilderness. So Holy Ghost is a very dangerous person to fight. But you find out that it does not usually come into battle. It sends those other things to come into battle. Amen. Now, having laid this foundation, there is one particular one that the church must come into the place of understanding. And I want to talk about the name of Jesus. The name of who? That one unlocks every other thing. All this thing I'm talking about, it is that name that unlocks it. If you don't have that name, you can't use it too. You can't use it. If you can't use any of those weapons. You can't. If you try to call the rain and say, go fight my enemies, you'll be entering into the occult. Because those things do not respond to mere men. They don't respond to men. They don't answer. If an angel, it's wrong for you to call an angel. Say, Michael, come. Those RTWR waiting that have increased petrol or something, go and knock them on the head. The angel will be like this. Is this me you're talking to? But you remember you're the son of the king. I'm just giving you a knock on your head. You don't talk to angels like that. But there's something we'll find out. God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, let me leave. Let's go to the beginning. Genesis 2, 19 and 20. There's something that is pertinent about a name. Because, see, listen to me. For us, by reason of our culture, a name is just a means of identification. That I don't get you confused with somebody else. That's why we give names to things, right? But really, when we are dealing with things like this, it's not about identification alone. It's even more than that. Now, why will God? The Bible says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. Please pay attention. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And after he did the naming, verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no found and help meet for him. Now, praise God. Do you know the amount of mental power for a man not to mix names of things together? Now, we don't have a record that the man was recording, or there was a recorder. Maybe that was why they said they found no help for him. Because somebody ought to have been doing the recording. I think any Pastor Ogi, Pastor Dele, Pastor Dansu, Pastor. And by the time I go around, I forget I've called somebody Pastor Jayola. I will go and repeat that name again. And then there'll be confusion. Then we have two Pastor Jayola. Then we ask which one. Okay, are you one? Yeah, two. Okay, you'll be two. You'll be one. Then I was, no. Praise God. Now, it was not just all the cattle. Everything that was living, including the microscopes. The microscopes? Or microbes? Those microbes. Those unseen things. Adam gave name to all of them. He gave names to all the plants and all their subdivisions. Praise God. That's why I didn't do biology, because I hated those names. I couldn't memorize those names. I wonder how somebody can spend his whole life naming. I like the shishi in here now. Praise God. Now we had a clue, because the Bible told us that Solomon had, he wrote proverbs, he wrote poems, he wrote things about all things like those plant world, the animal world. He wrote many things about them. But they are lost. Maybe because God didn't feel we needed it. So we lost it. Praise God. But the issue is that required a lot of brain power. A lot of brain power. But more than that, Adam did not just name them because it was for identity. Adam named them according to each nature and what each nature was saying. Praise God. When you hear the word lion, what comes into your mind? Lion. Now, the issue is not lion. There is something that is a characteristic of that animal that name encapsulates. I don't know whether you understand me. It's not his physical body. It's something, they said something about him, about the lion in the book of Proverbs. He said he does not turn away from any. That's the nature of a lion. He doesn't see you and turn away. Praise God. Have you heard about ye goat? He's stately. Have you seen a fully goat moving? Oh boy, you're fine, man. It's not pride. The way he moves, you can see this is like a king. He's a guy in charge. Praise God. He's organized. He's confident. Amen. It's difficult to see car kill goat on the express. It's very difficult. Goat. Goat ileo. You think that? It's what God put inside that animal is a type. If they call you goat, please. Just declare an IVG. You're welcome, sir. Jesus appreciate man of God. Build that diary. You're welcome. That's my director. I'm bachelor of Mifuta. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. Thanks for coming to fellowship with us tonight. So you see that goat, that he embodies confidence. The person who is the epitome of pride is found in the book of Job. The Leviathan. Is it not the Leviathan? We don't know who he is. But the Bible says the way he puffs and the way he responds. He said, can you bind him? Can you arrest him? Will he obey you? That one is pride. The other one, again, in the world of the these people. Have you seen the peacock? Have you seen peacock? Peacock does not respect anybody. Once it's moving and it does, I don't know, that guy is proud. He knows he's fine. And he will not care to let you know who he knows I'm fine. Have you met people like that? I'm not just Prabhu Kokoni. You can, if you like, jump inside the lagoon. That's the spirit speaking. Praise God. So you see, all these animals have characteristics that they say they were created to show forth certain things. And those were the things that Adam saw and gave names to them. And when he had finished naming it, God looked at it and said, this is accurate. You interpreted their prophetic destinies accurately. Praise God. But the problem with us is that when our parents were giving birth to us, or they gave birth to us, they had no prophetic insight. Many of you were named according to the number of neighbors that came for your wedding, your naming ceremony. You know, when neighbors come, your grandfather has a name, your grandmother has a name, or on the both side, then the friend of the grandfather has a name. Then when they now read all the names, almost 20. Praise God. Because the parents who ought to know, to give the name, has no prophetic clue to what was before them. She just gave him a name. So you know, there are Samuels that are in the prison now. How are they one by Jesus, all right? Who are supposed to be, by name, to be prophets. There are people who are, I'm looking for somebody that is, they're supposed to be Jonah, but they are behaving, but the nature inside of them is Judas. Praise God. Why did you think Jesus changed the name of Peter? Peter, is it Cephas? Meant reed. Cephas, yes, meant reed. That means you can blow him. He's bendable. Have you met people who say, this is like, that is true. And that person called, that one that you said, may God lose you. And that person, in fact, your own position is sweet. Then when all three of you now come together, you say, you agree with the three of us, you say, God loves everybody. He will swing anywhere the wind blows. Until Jesus came and said, thou is Peter, stone. You will be solid. But he took resurrection power to solidify Peter. Even at that, you see Peter, when people came from Jerusalem, the book of Job, brother just changed. And Paul said, bros, come. It's difficult. So what are you talking about names? Names are very, very important. Now, if we now go straight to Hebrews, let us go to Hebrews 1:4. I hope this is making sense. The Bible says, well, it's talking about this Christ that rose again. Paul was explaining to the Christians about this Christ that rose from the dead. Hallelujah. It says, be made so much better. Having no better language to use, he had to use this phrase, be made so much better. Hallelujah. Than the angels. Why? As he had by inheritance, what did he obtain? A more excellent name. The angels have excellent names. Praise God. If you have done maths, you know, more than, greater than, sure you understand that. But when the Bible says more excellent, that means it's incomparable. And embedded in that name is the abilities of that being. Now, I told us that there are angels that Lucifer does not know. He has not met them before. Since when he made him in heaven, he was not the only angel God made. God made trillions of angels. So Satan could not have known all of them. There was one that Satan has never met before. It's called the angel of the resurrection. The day Jesus was to be raised from the dead, that angel stepped out of heaven. Satan had not met him before. Because that angel had not been unleashed before. Praise the Lord. He came and he raised Jesus from the dead. It was an angel that God sent. He removed the stone. Whether he taught Jesus, I don't know, but it was that angel that paved the way. He neutralized all the powers of hell that surrounded the whole of Jerusalem. One angel, not the whole angels, one, neutralized them and made it possible for Jesus to enter back into his body and stepped out with a resurrected body. Hallelujah. After that, there is another angel in the book of Revelation. That angel, we have not met him before. The Bible says that angel put one leg on land, put one leg on water, raised his hand to heaven, and he swore, and seven thunders responded. What is his name? Is he an archangel? I don't know. Because many of you think that archangels are the most powerful. We don't know what God made. Only he knows what he made. Praise the Lord. There are angels that are dangerous. There is an angel, the angel that will go and carry Satan. agba olorun. You don't know who Lucifer is. The son of the morning. Hey, the epitome of pride. The ultimate. You can't be prouder than that guy. But not only is he proud, the guy is also powerful. It's not just, the Bible says it was so powerful that the Bible says when this angel, Michael, was going to contest the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation. Because he was talking to a prince. Just the authority in him. He looked at Michael, but Michael, bros is standing here. And I want this body. He couldn't contest it. He had to appeal to something higher than him. And said, the Lord rebuked thee. That's when he bowed. Praise the Lord. But if it comes to Jakadi, they would have leveled the whole of Jerusalem again. I don't know whether I understand what I'm trying to say. Those are not ordinary beings. Those beings don't possess people. How would they? Because they themselves have their own bodies. It is demons, small demons, disembodied spirits that possess people. Fallen angels don't possess people. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating here? So, the Bible records that they gave Jesus obtained by inheritance. Now, listen to me. You remember in John chapter 17, when Jesus Christ was praying his last prayer before going to the cross, he said, give me the glory I once had with you. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? He was asking for that glory. It was not just, that word glory is not light. That glory is the embodiment of everything that God is. I don't know whether you follow me. When you see God, if you can empty God, everything, see, if you remove one part of what constitutes God, it will no longer equate glory. I don't know whether you are, I don't know, I don't have English to explain, no. Praise God. If we can equate God to have 30 pieces of glory, and you remove one piece, it ceases to be God. I don't know. Sure, you understand me. But we know that God is infinite. So, but remove one thing out of him, he ceases to be infinite, he becomes finite. Amen. And Jesus was asking for that same thing that constituted God and made God God. That was what he was asking for. Hallelujah. And God had decreed that whosoever will finish this work on Calvary and be raised from the dead will inherit it. I don't know whether you are with me. That was inheritance. So Bible said, be made so much better than the angels. The angels could not have done these things that Jesus did. And so the Bible says, by that thing he did, and by inheritance, he obtained a more excellent name. Next verse, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Hallelujah. That was what happened. Because when he rose from the dead, you remember when he rose from the dead, Martha was going to hug him. Sure you remember? He said, don't touch me. I have not ascended. He had to ascend as the high priest presented the blood and all that in heaven. After he presented that, they declared him again, the begotten son. By inheritance, they gave him a more excellent name. Philippians 2. Let's just look at Philippians 2. Then you can begin to see what makes that name serious. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. This was the condition of entering into that name. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Another scripture, another translation says, even though he was God, he did not hold on to his rights as God. Praise God. You know you are good. Praise God. And it's nothing wrong to say, "Mo good." Even if they say you are proud. That's why I like, say, Ronaldo. To say he's proud. What is your problem? I don't know any footballer that is not proud. Even Messi is proud. Hallelujah. You know that the man has serious issues with self-esteem. Amen. But he said, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. It's not pride. He's just telling you simple truth. Praise God. Am I communicating? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he further humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which was meant for criminals, very low level criminals. You can't be more criminal than this level of criminality. This is the ultimate level of criminality. Praise God. That you are crucified naked in the public square. You can't go lower than that. Amen. I was saying to some people, if you give me permission to be in FCSST and deal with these people who steal money in government, I won't kill them. I have a very bad way of dealing with them. Praise the Lord. Can I give you an idea? Don't say I'm wicked though. It's a very dangerous thought. But don't say I'm wicked though. It's not my fault too. I just came across it. Amen. Rather than me putting them in kirikiri, I'll put them in their house. Are you with me? Guided. In the morning at 7 o'clock, they will wear prison clothes and go on the street and sweep their own streets. So when children are going to school, they can see Daddy Ayo in prison clothes sweeping. Then they can ask their father, why is Daddy Ayo in prison clothes? You can tell them, okay? Ole me, ole. This, are you with me? When all the children have gone to school, we bring him back. He will sit down at home. To bati di oso, atu jade, atu lokodo ati again. So that our more ore ayo. I'm okay, ole ni Daddy Ayo. Can you say it's a wicked thought? But that's not where it ends. I will give him two options, either to take poison or hang himself. So his death will not be on the neck of the government. So two ways to kill yourself. There's poison here. This is a place you can hang yourself. It works very effectively. He will make up his choice. Amen. You'll be surprised that people will stop stealing. After 20 people have... Eh? Is it they will stop? You think so? Ah. Just give me opportunity to come to government and see what I will do. I won't kill them. Then, of course, during the third one I can do, I will put their checkbook in front of them so that they can sign everything they have stolen. When they do that, okay, he has restituted all the thief he has done. He can go scot-free. So his car, we label his car. This thief has been forgiven his sins. Praise God. Nigeria will just organize on their own. Praise God. That's my bad thought. Don't copy it too. Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. I may not be able to finish this thing, but I will do my best. I'm looking at time. The Bible was telling us about the power that God wrought when he raised Jesus from the dead. Now, please listen to me. Jesus, this power that God wrought had never been demonstrated before in the whole history of mankind. We learned of a man that God raised. His name is called, was it Elisha? Did God raise Elisha? No. Elisha was stone dead, like dead as he was dried dead. Dried as if you would not even know this was Elisha, except they tell you that this was his burial ground. Do you follow me? He was very dead. His bones were as dead can be. Praise God. And a man that was dead hit his dead body, and the man that was dead came alive. Praise God. That was a miracle of a kind. But the man that was revived, later died. Or the power could not sustain him in this life. Praise God. Now, there were records of people that Jesus raised, especially the one that was so spectacular was Lazarus. Hitherto, Jesus had raised people who were dead one day. There was one young man that died, and they were taking him for burial. Jesus just walked and was passing. I said, what happened to this young man? They said he just died, and he's the only son of his mother, and Jesus raised the young man. People must have said the man was actually in coma. He actually did not die. So it was important that Lazarus should die and die very well. Praise God. And leave anyone in that. Because after the third day, the body must start smelling. That's why the third day the women came to perfume Jesus' body. Because after the third day, the body will start decomposing. Praise the Lord. If they don't embalm it. So he allowed Lazarus to die, and after he has died, he allowed him to die well. Then when he was properly dead, he now said, let us rise, let us go. Our friend Lazarus is asleep. One of our brethren who was very stupid said, we shall go and sleep with him. Amen. So when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it became a problem for all the Pharisees. Because a living testimony was standing before them. There was no way you can argue anymore that Jesus Christ is the son of Lucifer. Because have you heard before that Lucifer empowered anybody to do any sort of this kind of miracles? No. So it became a problem. So the Bible says they got together to plot how they must kill both Jesus and Lazarus. Amen. Whether they were able to get Lazarus later, we don't know. But the truth is that Lazarus later died. The power that Jesus demonstrated there could not sustain Lazarus again. Praise God. So when it was time for Jesus, you know, all these people that were raised, they used other means to raise them from the dead. Are you with me? There was another intervention. Somebody needed to be there to do it. Now there was nobody between God and Jesus to do it. God had to do it himself. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Those who had this out of body experience, who have had the privilege of talking to Lucifer, he said, Holy Ghost came into hell. He didn't. God didn't send an angel. The person that came into hell was not angel. The one I call angel of resurrection was one who went to remove stone. Don't say you understand me. It was stone he removed. He didn't go to hell. Praise God. The person who went to hell was Holy Ghost himself. And grabbed Jesus and quickened him. Praise God. And when he stood upright, hell broke loose in hell. Are you with me? Hell broke loose in hell. Everybody scattered. Because if it was angels, they would have fought him to a standstill. The Holy Ghost himself came. Because a verdict was passed in heaven, in the heavens of heaven. God passed a judgment. He is not guilty. And the Holy Ghost came. So the Bible says, what a wrath when he raised him from the dead. Not only did he raise him from the dead, the Bible says, and set him at his own right hand. See, raising him in the dead required another amount of energy, at least energy, power, to exert, to raise him. He got to the earth. All these things we are talking about stratas of authorities. Are you with me? Stratas of authority. And to raise him and make him sit at his own right hand, that means raise him beyond any strata in the universe, whether visible or invisible. Because to sit at the right hand of God requires energy. You must have the kind of life that God himself has. Not just life, you must have the power. You've heard about radiation. Radiation, you've heard now. At least those of us that watch film. Ha, mommy, you will film. Kai, I'll be here and perform me. If you know, man will film, praise God. How many of us watched? I hope I'm not crossing my line now, Pastor. They will not start saying they want to be going to film house now. One of the Avengers, is it the X-Men. There's one girl, the most powerful mutant. And who knows the most powerful? Where is Emmanuel? Jesse. So interesting. It took Wolverine to kill her. She was the most powerful mutant. There was no mutant as strong as her. She was so powerful. Now, for you to say Jesus is greater than her, she can contest it. Then how do you want to fight when that's the most powerful mutant? Am I communicating? But God raised him above all. That says far above. Amen. How many of you have done athletics before? Okay, you have not done, but you have watched. When they have to carry film to know who crossed the line first, they now start using photo, microsecond something. They say it's Usain Bolt because his hand poked in front. Hallelujah. You can be contesting that. Well, they manipulated the machine. When they say, oh, dust, am I going to get your dust? When they say, oh, Thomas, guess like, when you arrive, the guy has finished and he's there waiting for you guys. Go there, Coca-Cola. And he said, go, oh, to Lord, to David, oh, to Lord. You know Flash. How can you run with Flash? But I remember I watched one episode when he and Superman ran. And Superman was smiling. The guy was struggling. Superman was just looking at him. Is this the best you can do? Praise God. Far above. So there is no basis for contention. He is not their mate. You see, one thing I found out is, you don't know how powerful God is. If all the angels gather themselves together to fight God, they can't still fight him. They can't fight him. He doesn't need to fight. He only needs to talk. And the ones will start fighting all of them. Do you follow me? That's how powerful the Godhead is. They don't need to fight. So in the beginning was what? And the word was what? And the word was... So all they need to say, all of them, the breath in them, you can call it, Akwe, the breath, come. You are still doing, I will not agree. Just say, breath, come. Because he put the breath there, the breath responds to him, not you. You don't really understand me. Even in the realm of the invisible, those angels still depend upon him for his existence. The Bible says he sustains all things by the word of his power. Praise God. And every name, far above all what? Do you know that this principality is not plural? Did you observe that? There's a place it's talking about, you know, in Colossians, principalities, powers, mind, dominions. Here, it is not plural. It is principality and power and might and dominion and every name. He's not talking about fallen angels here. He's talking about angelic entities. There are angels that we don't know them, but their name. When they stand, it's a name that is standing. When you say Michael, that is a name. What is standing is an embodiment of warfare. Do you follow me? That angel is a warfare angel. He cannot teach you revelation. He's not a preacher. Is a warrior. There are angels that are messengers of the kingdom. They ask us to give you message. Praise God. Are you with me? Now that doesn't mean they cannot fight, but that is not their specialty. Praise God. Am I communicating? So you need to understand that they have their functions, but there is this one that I'm interested in. It says, every name that is named. Please listen. Say, not only in this world. Not only what? But also where? In the world to come. No one will have any name that will be superior to his own name. Now, by reason of having a superior name, confers upon him the superiority of authority. that all the things in creation responds to him. Praise God. That was why he marveled when a Gentile centurion said to him, Master, you did not come into my house. Say, I'm a man under authority. I said to this, come, he comes. And I said to this one, go, he goes. Say, speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And the Bible says, Jesus marveled because he has not seen such faith. How is that faith, sir? Did he cast out devils? It's not casting out devils, an understanding of how these things work. And he called it faith. Praise the Lord. This Jesus has a name above all names. Now, Philippians that we did not finish says, take back Philippians and let me begin to close tonight. Take me back to Philippians. Philippians 2. Let us go 10 and 11. That, okay, give me 9. It will be sweeter when we come from 9. You will enjoy it from here. Wherefore, because of all these things that Jesus Christ did, he gave himself, he did all those things, God now exalted him. The Bible says highly. The same thing as far above. Is that okay? And what did he give to him? A name. He didn't give to him planets. He didn't give to him cash. He gave to him what? A name. And the Bible says, which is above what? Every name, including principality, power, dominion, might, and any name that can be named. He gave him a name above all those names. Praise the Lord. And I went on to say this, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Should bow. And every tongue should what? Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, not heavens. The things where God himself dwells. And things in earth. And things under the earth. If by mistake Satan carries to under the earth, are you a badger? Because once you mention the name of Jesus, everything in that area will scatter. Because it's of necessity. This is a command. Once the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there's power. No one in creation can dare God to disobey him. It's not thinkable. It's unimaginable. Yes, Satan is fighting God. But when God says enough, enough means enough. They don't go again. Now, it's not, now, you know, please understand it. It's not that he doesn't want to go beyond that. You see, that word has a way of arresting everything inside of him that wants to go beyond where God said enough is. That thing binds that thing inside of him that is agitating that action. And he has no control over it. You don't understand. When you were growing up and you were a baby, and you were growing up, and you want to fight maybe your mom or you want to fight your dad, and they lift you off the ground, and you are throwing tantrums, and you cannot box him, you are struggling. Do you understand what I'm saying? You hold them by the, just lift him up, and his leg is dangling in the air. And he cannot box. He cannot do anything. And he's crying. But you just hold him there and arrest him. It's very frustrating to be in that position. Praise God. When God speaks, his words hold that thing fast. He said, this thing where Jesus rose from the dead and appeared before him in heaven. He said, every knee should. It's a command. So when we are quoting it, it's no longer should. Is we. It's now a present thing. You have to bow. And I'm not struggling with you. Because you must have an understanding of the centurion and Jesus. A soldier does not go to another soldier and say, come, I wish, oh, don't want to obey me. Ah, a moment, guy share. They don't do things like that. Rank speaks. If you are small as this, you are okay. I watched the scene. I'm closing. I watched the scene. Just Osho Dioso. Once cadet boy just came back from NDA, cadet, I'm okay, very small, small boy like that, you know. I think they come out with lieutenant. Yes, sir. Second lieutenant. And he was passing down Oshodi. And some whole soldiers, you know, they were there. You know, they used to go to Oja and everything. They were there, corporal, sergeant. And he passed them. And they did as if they didn't see. The guy was for a few minutes and turned around and shouted at them, "Come to our attention." They didn't even know when they turned around. It's not his height. It's what he carries here. Amen. Now, I want to conclude this by saying this. When Jesus rose from the dead and told disciples, the only thing he gave us was his name. Say, "Go in my name." The most potent power in the whole of creation today is the name of Jesus. There is nothing that name cannot undo. And there is nothing that name cannot do. Praise God. You must, see, let me say this. You see, everything that Jesus got when he left the presence of God, when God gave him this name, the potency of the Godhead, everything that makes the Godhead Godhead, was residing in him bodily. Are you with me? Hallelujah. He now came and carried everything and invested and like encapsulated it like Panadol and put inside that name. Say, "Gba lolu." So what you are carrying is dangerous, more dangerous than a nuclear bomb. If you know what you are carrying. There was this incident that Egan mentioned. He was talking with Jesus one day, and one imp came around and began to make noise, and it was disturbing, and it was harassing him. And Jesus just kept on talking. So out of annoyance, Egan spun around and said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus." And the demon stopped and ran away. And he told Jesus, "Why didn't you stop him?" He said, "I've given you everything. I have nothing again. But you read me by, you will anything more." It's you that has the power. And it's inside that name. So what will you do with the name? What will you do with that name? That is the most powerful piece of equipment that advances the power of the kingdom. It is by that name you enforce the will of the kingdom. It is by that name you summon angels to battle. It is by that name you command diseases to die. It is by that name that you open portals and you open doors and you open paths for people. Praise the Lord. It's by that name you wrought deliverance for those who are bound. It's by that name you enter the house of the strong man. And like David said to Goliath, "I come in the name of the God of Israel. He who died and rose from the dead. Amen. Especially when you say, "I come in the name of the resurrected Christ." There was a deliverance somebody was doing. I was saying, "In Jesus' name, come out." The demon just sat there and was enjoying. "In Jesus' name, come out." The demon didn't even move. Until I asked, "What is your name?" Say, "My name is Jesus." And I said, "Okay." Now, and I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ that rose from the dead. Hey, say, "You're now talking." So you must know what you are carrying. There is no other means by which the kingdom power can be demonstrated except by the name of Jesus. If you carry even all the weapons that Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 6, how do you put them on? Are you with me? It takes the name. You see, the name has I don't know how to explain it. The name is so wonderful, so powerful that when you say, "I put on the armor of God in Jesus' name," automatically that armor is created in the realm of the spirit and it comes upon you. But you can't say, "I put on the armor of God. I put on the helmet of salvation." Nothing will happen. Because what unlocks those things is your faith in that name. It is in that name that you open the door of salvation for men. It's also in that name that you shut the door. So whosoever you bind is bound. Whatever you open is open. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm talking to you. That is the greatest gift that you and I have. if we're going to advance the agenda of this kingdom. It has a name which he has given to us. You have to start believing in that name, and you have to trust that name, and you have to start using that name. Whatever you forbid in that name, creation will respond to you and make sure that nothing again happens where you have said you don't want it to happen. If you enter a place and said, all the people that are here that is doing babalawo, I shut you down in Jesus' name. Automatically, in the realm of the spirit, they become shut down. But you can't go there and say, sorry for you. Let me speak English to you. You see, this thing you are doing is not good. They'll just be looking at you. Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva? You remember the sons of Sceva? When the man came, he said, we are judgy. Come out of him. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. It's not a personal revelation. It's what their pastor said. You must own it. It must become your own property. Praise the Lord. Peter said to the man at the beautiful gate, who looked at them for money, I said, look at us. Silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have, we give you. What did they give him? The name of Jesus. We have a church that has money, but they don't have, they've lost the name. I think it's time that we discover again that name called Jesus. It's powerful. I can't continue again because I promise I will stop. And I think I should stop at this point. When I have the opportunity to continue, or any other person has the privilege, they can continue. Praise God. But I want us from this day not to be afraid, not to be scared. Use the name. Of course, may I say this? I just remember. I've said it before. Please, I want to say it. Don't use the name of the Lord God in vain. All this. Oh, Jesus. Oh, kilo shele. Oh, Jesus. Don't use the name in vain. If there's no reason to use the name, don't use it. Because if you use it and it becomes a normal, then you are in real trouble. I say, Jesus. The angels will say you are play. On the day low. So don't play. Don't be frivolous with it. Praise God. And don't be afraid to use it when the need arises. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Any question before we pray? Any contribution? Okay, Sabimbo. Maybe if you ask a question, somebody else may have one or two. Just project your voice. Because when I ask her to project, I can't hear.
Hallelujah. Okay. Fallen angels were termed demon. Like, you know, when he talked about the Michael and the angel of Lucifer fell, and one third of the angel fell. It was like, from the understanding I got, you know, from people preaching and all, is that all of those angels, in a way to categorize them and separate them from the angels with the Lord now, they are termed demons. But you said it is not so.
Yes, I said so.
Okay. So, then what are those angels now called? Like, what do you now call the angels that fell?
I said fallen angels. So I define that they are falling. That's why they are angels. They are still angels, but they are falling. Is it having difficulty believing it?
Hey, because demons too are fallen angels.
No,
now.
Demons are not fallen angels.
What are they?
No, demons are not fallen angels. Demons, I said, are disembodied spirits. That's why they are always looking for anything to enter. They will enter trees. Just when you see that they cut one tree and the blood is coming out, is a demon. It's not a falling angel, because falling angels don't occupy things like that. They are the ones that rule in the heavenlies. They are the ones that Jesus told my what's his name? He told Agim, he said, the ones on this earth, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with demons. Said the ones in the heavens, we deal with them. Are you with me? They are hierarchies. They are different.
They are the one that are principality, dominion.
And no, even in that one, God, we get problem. Because we don't know whether Paul arranged it in descending order or in ascending order. We don't know. So a school of thought may come and say, principality is the highest. Another person may say, principality is the lowest.
But
we don't know.
Those ones are the ones that are fallen angels.
Which one?
The principality.
I just explained to you now.
Okay.
I said we don't know whether they are the one that is. But I think those hierarchies, principalities, powers, mind, dominion, and all those things are basically, I think they are fallen angels. Because they are different from demons. They are different from demons. For example, Diana. Diana is not a demon.
Okay, what is? He's a god now.
Yes. But he was a ruling prince over Asia. They don't possess men. They control men's mind. They're the one that controls civilizations. They direct. They're the one you come across in Daniel, Prince of Persia. Those, they control culture, they control technology, they control advancement. That's why when people talk and say, Nigeria is not advancing. You know that means the reason why we have problems in Nigeria is that the prince ruling this country is not the one that is interested in making us a world power. Bashi Mamashi Lori, TJ's one of the day. It's sad, but that's the truth. That's what we can do. Except you can dislodge that spirit and bring another spirit. So how do you want to do it now? It's your money, don't burn. And the reason why I have a problem with all this is that when you look at the end time program of God, Nigeria is not going to be a war power. There's no program for another war. After this one, America is doing. The next war power is the 10 kings. Who will rise and give their power to the Antichrist. So, the Bible says, after that has happened, the Bible says, God will take the kingdom from them and give it to his people. He will not give it to another nation again. He will now give it to his own people. Praise God. So, all of you that you are angry that we have the brightest physicists in the world and yet Nigeria is not developed, Bashimama Lori. The only prayer we can pray is that God, because of our prophetic destiny, simple for can preach the gospel tomorrow. That is all. But you know how that bad America, nah, is a lie. That's why when I look at Oyibo, they are flexing, we are superior to you. You know, I learned a lesson from a film I watched, a documentary. When the British ambassador was abusing an Iraqi ambassador, and the ambassador said, 3,000 years ago, your people were living in caves when we were ruling the world. This president Iraq, they were Babylon. The president Iran are patients. They all ruled the world. Those two nations ruled the world at one point in time. But today, if Trump says, if you go to toilet there, I will throw bomb on you. They have no choice but to sit down. They have no choice. It's time. It's God allocates it according to his program. But Bible says when the fullness of the Gentile is completed, he will take his kingdom. So let them be enjoying. I'm thinking they are wiser than me. As if they review my skin. Is it not the same red blood you will see? You know? Only it comes from us all. So, say you have a better understanding. So, Jael.
You mentioned using the name of, the example you gave of a deliverance section that the man was saying, get out in Jesus' name, and nothing was happening. Until he said, what is your name? Jesus, blah, 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 and Jesus Christ of now, blah, blah, blah.
So I did say blah, 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 blah. That was
so my question is, are you saying, is until we use, in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, that things happen? Because people, we pray in the name of Jesus.
I'm not saying that. Letting you know.
I don't understand that illustration.
That illustration is, what is your understanding? Because when you are talking and you are using the name of Jesus, what kind of picture do you have? What kind of understanding is backing that utterance.
Okay, so is it from the man that
it's from the man. The man apparently was probably had a thinking that Jesus, that name Jesus is the only name anywhere in the world. That there's no other person that can bear that name.
Okay.
Sure, you understand?
Okay.
But see, when you are saying it, I'm not saying it from the perspective of a natural man. What is in my mind is he who rose from the dead and has all power and authority. Are you with me? So when I say Jesus, something from me is backing that up. And the spirit I'm talking to will recognize that this person knows what he's talking about. But when I'm looking at it like, Jahel, I come, you know, Jahel and Jesus, the same, you know, no, it's my identity. Do my account, where I can lay you more right at the left. And then I'm a player. I can be there for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Then my day was up with imagine the money, afa. But you're just foolish. So you understand that? Praise God. Okay. Only sisters are asking questions tonight. I pray God will make you apostles. And then the brothers will learn. The brothers didn't say amen, no?
I want to extend what Sister Jael said a little.
You want to extend?
Yes. Like, seeking clarification now.
Okay.
Will it mean there are some names, like from where you stopped with her, will it mean that there are some peculiar names of Jesus that answer to some peculiar situations?
E.g.
Like, when you say something like, okay, you remember when his birth was announced, we had he's going to be Emmanuel, Savior, and Messiah, all of that. Is it that it's peculiar? Like, when I want to talk about salvation now, and I need to break the hold of the devil over somebody's soul, I use that word, that
which word?
Name. The name now that
I cast you out in the name of Emmanuel. I'm trying.
But then,
they gave him a name which above the name they gave him is Jesus. They didn't put Emmanuel there. Those are just titles and description of what he will come and do. When he rose from the dead, he didn't say go in the name of Emmanuel.
But then, I don't know, previous knowledge, there's a way when we want to ask for provision, there are these Hebrew words, Hebrew names.
Benny.
Some money can connect, like.
Praise God. I think your question is valid. But I guess again, the challenge we have in the New Testament is that we are bringing Old Testament paradigm in the New Testament. I have no record of the apostles using, say, Jehovah Jireh. Come and I don't have any record of them using it. I don't have any record of them standing before the mountain and say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I command you to open. I don't have the record of that. Under that testament, yes, they could do that. But this testament, the Bible gave you a name. And that's all. That name responds to vital. See, embedded in that name is every covenant name of God. Everything's inside. I don't know whether you're with me. That's why you cannot add Kandu to that name. That's why you cannot add anointing oil to that name. I don't know whether you're, because that name itself is sufficient. This afternoon, when I was coming, one man of God was preaching. And when he preached, and say, in the name of Jesus, the guy will say, amen, fire. And I said, when did it become that the name of Jesus is sufficient again to solve problems? He said, you have fire to it. So these are some of the practices that we are witnessing that is not right, that we need to correct. Am I communicating? Of course, you know that all the covenant names of God, they're all embedded in Christ. And that's why you can say, Father, bless me today. I need money in the name of Jesus. He said, anything you ask my Father, we're talking John chapter 14, talk the 15, he also talked to 16. Anything you ask him in my name, my Father will do. Not in any other name. Praise God. Because that name is as good as this person coming to do whatever you want him to do. Amen. So, Ross, Sunday. Okay, hallelujah. Give him microphone.
Our daddy did not have said it the other time. When Jesus Christ was to go, he told the apostle, he said that he should baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you check Acts, all through Acts, when the apostles are to baptize anybody in the name of Jesus Christ. So that name is the representation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that name alone carries all the attributes.
Oshijo.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for bailing me out there. Hallelujah. No, any revelation again? Okay, no revelation. You are blessed. Because you have a name. Do you know that in Revelation, I didn't get there. What one of the things that God will give you as in I don't know whether I've entered what we should not enter yet, inheritance, is a name. It says, I will write my name on your forehead, which no man knows. That implies that he will give you authority. And when you appear and they see that name on you, they will say, this one is marked. You know when Paul said, I bear upon my body the mark. He was already marked. So when spirits see him, they say, this one is marked. Praise God. They need to mark you. When they mark you, you become his property. They write his name on your forehead. Satan wants to also write his name on our foreheads. It's called the mark of the beast. He's simply replicating what God is trying to do. Praise God. When we come to talk about eschatology and the still part of the warfare of the kingdom is in fight, you will know why it is important that Satan is going to fight us from the level of economy. It's economic. They give you a mark, you can't buy, you can't sell. It's not religious. The issue of corona and collecting vaccine, is it Christian or Muslim? That corona does not know Christian from Muslim. All alike. Once you are a human being, you are entitled to be vaccinated. And once they start vaccinating you, that's where it starts from. The end is rolling in. Kekere by kekere. Can we bow our heads and pray? Can we just thank the Lord for giving us a name? The Bible says God gave him a name. Can you thank him for giving us that name as our inheritance? That we should have the privilege of using his name. He says, go in my name. Thank him. It's an honor. He's the most potent weapon and means of force to advance the agenda of heaven. Without the name, we cannot advance the agenda of heaven. The name calls to bear all the forces of creation. It puts all the forces of creation, both the seen and the unseen realm, at your disposal to use as you deem fit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Can you appreciate God for this privilege? It's a privilege. It's a great and awesome privilege. It's awesome that God can trust you with such power. It's a tremendous power. Can you ask the Lord to teach you? Psalmist said, the Lord teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You must know how to deploy it. You must know how to wield it. It's like the sword of the Spirit. When you say in the name of Jesus, this is the word of the Lord, you are converting, the name of Jesus converts a mere logos into a living sword of the Spirit. It's a name that converts those promises into realities of the Spirit. You must know how to wield it. The Lord must teach you how to wield the power of this kingdom. It's a means of power that this kingdom has. It will take away the name of Jesus. This kingdom becomes powerless. There is no active, there is nothing again for us that this kingdom can do. Can't do nothing. when you have a bad dream and you wake up, listen, your dream is not cast in concrete. You can stand and cancel it in the name of Jesus. And it will stand canceled because you have invoked the most powerful name in the whole universe. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. That name is greater than all things. That name.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for the light that your word brings. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercies that you have shown. Thank you for lighting our path. Thank you because more than ever before, we will come into greater understandings. That as we go, this name becomes more real to us. The access that we have by this name becomes more clear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that by this name we speak to our situations and circumstances that face us. We speak to mountains, we speak to hills. We cause them to move in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.